go to Genesis 3.
Back to the basics. Genesis.
Now we go back.
Brother just had too much sugar.
Who are we missing?
Ronnie. Scott. Betty.
Betty. Your mama.
After Adam and Eve ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." Then the curse came. In verse 14. Now, you've got to understand that the curse hasn't been lifted on the human race. You as an individual are still under the same curse. That's why the only way out of the curse is the cross, your death, so that there can be a new life created. A new life that has nothing to do with you. And so all of your attempts to try to get it right, to try to understand, to try to do anything, are all doomed to fail because they are a part of the curse. You're using the tools of that were cursed to try to understand the mystery of God or to try to apprehend it. So until you come to this and until you know this, then you cannot ever, ever, ever come to the fullness of the knowledge of God. You can observe it. You can look at it every once in a while. You can, you know, as we've talked about, you can be at the bungee cord where you can go visit the kingdom for a split second, and then the bungee cord pulls you back. You can have moments of revelation. You have moments of anointing. But it's all meaningless because you're pulled right back into the kingdom of darkness because you're trying to take that which was cursed into the kingdom of God. And you're trying to use the tools that were cursed to apprehend the mystery of God. Does everybody understand this? You say you do, but I don't think you do. Because I hear you. I hear you talk about it. I hear you talk about these things about, you know, this thing's coming upon me, or I get this idea, or... And so it doesn't appear to me that you understand the basics of the curse. Ronnie spent a lifetime trying to get delivered from the curse. You can't get delivered. The only solution to the curse is to die. Got it? Nobody cares what you think. You must have gotten that by now. Nobody cares how sincere you are. Nobody cares how hard you try. Because you're still dealing with the curse. What's going on, Gary?
Well, talking about me.
Here's the red flag.
Gary has this habit of putting a neon sign on his forehead that says "Attack." Now, what? I could tell you were gelling. What was?
Your comments about nobody cares about what I it was a reference to what we said the other morning about thoughts coming on you. You laughed at me when I said that. because thoughts do come on you. And you've got some.
You know, but what's the transaction?
You're paying.
Well, no, you're not a debtor to it. It's just a meaningless thing. It's like the a bird flying past you or something. What does that mean? Go to Romans 8 real quick.
That's interesting because in ancient times, birds flying past had all kinds of meaning. they would divine stuff out of them.
Of course,
which we think it's stupid because that's not our particular idolatry.
Yeah, that's why.
But it's very interesting. It's a cool analogy because thoughts are like this.
Well, see, the whole basis of in ancient cultures, the reason that you see, like they in the Egyptian culture, when they had a human with a bird, the head of a bird, or they have the griffin with a lion with wings, every time you see the bird or the wings, it signifies the spirit. And so they used to believe that thoughts were spiritual. And therefore, the analogy of the bird is a real thing. Now the problem is, 99.9999% of the human race still think thoughts are spiritual. Just like they think the conscience is the guidance of God. The conscience is simply the idiosyncrasies that you learn from your parents before you reach the age of reason. Has nothing to do with God. It's mostly wrong. But your thoughts are always wrong. But the reason is because of this. Well, let's go look at it.
Before you jumped out and bit Gary, you were saying, I think the thing that you said that caused the reaction was nobody cares how sincere you are, nobody cares how hard you're trying. And that caused me to, I can remember, I don't know, sometime early in grammar school, I can remember knowing that I was wrong, whatever that meant, that I didn't fit in my family, I didn't fit in school, I didn't fit in society, that I was evil or something. I don't know what it was, but I was definitely going to end up in the electric chair. And I can remember these different excuses. That, okay, if I appear to be sincere, and then I can say, well, I didn't mean to do that, or whatever. Or if I look like I'm working really hard, then I can say, well, I was trying really hard not to be bad. Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Yeah, that ought to
you just explained your whole life.
Well, that's why I'm saying something. I can remember it. That these are all, so when the day finally comes, when I'm in court,
you'll have an excuse.
I'll have something to say to the jury so they won't give me the chair.
That's not wrong.
All right, listen. Chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, the things of the flesh are the things that are discerned by your senses. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That includes your thoughts. They're discerned by your senses. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, how do you mind the things of the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? There's only one way. By abandoning yourself. By bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. By taking every thought and challenging it with, "It is finished." There is no thought in the universe that can stand against "It is finished." Everything else is just, it's just silly. Now, for to be carnally minded is death. I'm not carnally minded. I'm thinking good thoughts. No, you're not. All thoughts are carnal because they originate from the flesh. Right? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because it's Christ.
What is carnal?
Carnal means of the flesh.
Chili con carne.
Chili con carne, yeah.
Carnal corn.
Shut up, Robert. Now listen, because the carnal mind, that means your mind. There's no part of your mind that isn't carnal. The carnal mind is enmity. Enmity is a terrible word. It's an enemy to such a degree that that one of you has to die. Either your mind has to die or God, you have to kill God. You understand that? They can't coexist.
Mortal enemies.
They're mortal enemies. Enmity, bitter enmity. Remember when the blessing of Abraham? It says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. The word curse there gives you an idea of what it means to bitterly execrate those that take you lightly. Remember that?
So being under the curse or being cursed is not a good thing.
No. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It can't be subject. It's not made to be subject because it became cursed. Once self-awareness entered the picture, all of the human mind was cursed. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We are not debtors to any aspect of our feelings, of our mind, of our emotions. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. But you can't know that until you come to the end of it. Until you've taken your thoughts to the ultimate, until you've taken whatever you think you want to do to the farthest ends of the earth, you can't know this because you will always think there's life somewhere else. Or if I just got this right, or if I just could do this right. So you are debtors, not to the flesh. Now that means there's no debt that you owe to any aspect of your flesh. Your mind, your emotions, your will. Do you comprehend that? But I don't see that. I see you being a debtor to your thoughts. You're a debtor to your ideas. You're a debtor to your feelings. And that's just plain out stupid. What?
You know, the word debtor doesn't quite...
You don't owe it anything.
I know, but I hear the word debtor so much that it just kind of goes in and out.
It's like the idea
that you owe... Well, I had a thought or a concept, and it was right, and you do put yourself just right under as if you do.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, in our society, you can evade that for years. So it's not really that big of a thing. You can dance and, you know, the idea of being in debt, you can sort of
transfer your balances.
But you can kite your checks.
Somebody owes some money and you didn't pay it up, and then they could come and do all kinds of bad things to you.
Or you can do like one of my relatives telling
me. You have to speak up.
I said, you can do like one of my relatives was telling me about debt. You know, you not answer the phone, answer the door.
Yep.
I don't know.
That works good.
Yeah.
Then you live in paranoia. It's like all these credit card millionaires. There's one in particular in the room that used to live in a high rise, driving a Cadillac and a Corvette. He was homeless, didn't have a job, but he was living like a millionaire. And so, I would make more fun of him than you can ever believe, and so would Bloom. And then he would get really upset because we were making fun of him. All right, back to the curse in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 14. Why is it? See, we always have to have a preamble. It takes forever for the preamble.
Just go straight to the epilogue. We've established that we're already.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above all, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now that's talking to your mind. The dust, you gain what you eat. You understand how much of the human race they gain their sustenance by eating the flesh of other people? They watch, they get excited if some idiots on steroids win a game by throwing a pigskin around. They get upset if somebody else doesn't do this or that. They watch movies so they can get life from the movies. They are eating dust. Can you understand that? Now you wonder why I make fun of it. Because it's stupid to eat dust. But that's the fruit of the curse. That's all the human race can do is eat dust all the days of its life. Because they have no life in themselves. They have no sustenance. So they have to gain their identity from other people. They become a people of observers instead of beers. So you spend your life observing life instead of living it. And that's really boring. You spend your life watching movies instead of being the movie. Now, all of you have, God has given you so much. So that you never again have to gain your sustenance from something else or someone else. Everybody understand that? You understand how you're eating? You've been eating dust your whole life?
That's a crazy thought of when you get done here and we all go out and leave, the door opens, we all slither out on our bellies.
Yeah. Go eat dust. Oh, that's really good dust over there. And I will put enmity. There we go again, this enmity. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against God. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The seed of the serpent is the entire human race because of the curse. It doesn't mean that Eve had sex with the serpent, which is what some idiots say. It means that that is the fruit of the curse. There's enmity between the woman or the bride and the serpent, and there's enmity. That's why you cannot be a friend of the world. And the only time there's a seed of woman is if there's a virgin birth. You understand that? The seed is sperm. It's not money, it's sperm. It shall bruise thy head. Bruise means crush, overcome. The seed of woman shall bruise or crush the head. That's why the Antichrist is raised from the deadly head wound. And it's raised in you every time you give breath to yourself or your ideas or your thoughts. You're raising from the dead the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. So instead of abandoning yourself, taking no thought for your life, taking no thought for tomorrow, you are breathing life into the Antichrist who's raised from the dead from the deadly head wound. But you're the one that raised him from the dead because of your rebellion. Am I boring you? Please, don't take this lightly. If you don't believe it, argue with me. If you believe it, live it. Well, that's enough for that. Let's go to Matthew 13.
Matthew what?
13.
Now, the use of that word enmity directly links those two things. You know,
that's what I've been saying for 30 years. So I've never heard Torah before. What?
It worked. They just got it.
No, he's gotten it before. He just forgot he got it.
I'm just pretending I forgot. For the sake of the others.
That's big of you, John. That's being a servant. Taking the fool, becoming a fool for the sake of the brethren. Jesus said of this parable, if you understand it, you will understand all mysteries. It's kind of, it's from what Jesus said of this, it's the most important parable in the Bible.
Matthew 13.
The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now you got to remember, in the ancient times, when they didn't plow the ground when they sowed seed, they had a dealie that was under the, like a burlap bag that hung under their a sling under their arm, and they just tossed seeds around.
They
didn't plow the seeds into it. They just tossed the seeds. So they fell all over the place. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That's not talking about money. It's the seed, the sperm that was sown. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even that what he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with the eyes, and hear with the ears, and should understand with the heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God cannot permit you to see with your eyes, or hear with your ears, or understand with your heart, because those are all part of carnality. They are part of the curse. Now, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And it still is the same as true. It's true to you today. Okay, now hear you therefore, and Mark, in Mark's version of this, you can check it for yourself, but if Jesus said of this parable that if you understand this parable, you will understand all parables. So here's the interpretation. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? Your mind. The wicked one comes and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Everybody got that one. But he that received the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word and soon with joy received it. God, only I've never heard such a thing. I promise you I'll never leave. This is where I bought this, blah, 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 blah. With joy received it. Never trust anybody that tells you that.
They've learned that that's their announcement. That they're on.
That's their announcement. They're leaving. See, that heareth the word and soon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world. He's building his own house. He's concerned with his own career. He's concerned with his own life. The care of this world chokes the word, the seed. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Now, point of all this is that we're talking about, remember the predicate from yesterday was the meaning of abiding and overcoming. In order to abide and to overcome, you have to understand the curse and you have to understand that parable. Otherwise, you'll be deceived by the cares of this world. By a wife. By a husband. By children. Hear me, no man cometh to the Father, or no man cometh to Christ either, unless he hates his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, yea, and his own life also. To hate means that he no longer sees anyone with those labels. Because all those labels are simply parables of the mystery of God. If you give breath to what it looks like, then you've lost. Okay, that's enough for today. Anybody have any response?
I noticed that when you said the evil one comes and takes the seed away,
that's your mind.
Internally, it's not.
No. No, it's your mind. The evil one is your mind. Remember that.
Well, it's like I'll read this thing today about in Saudi Arabia, Muslim idea of women, and part of they build up this whole thing like women there's all these doctrines they had, like women are dangerous and all that kind of stuff.
True.
it's your
literalizing the parable.
It's just how you view it.
I'm entertaining myself with the thought we were joking about how when people say, "Oh, this is I'll never leave," that's the sign that they're leaving. The converse is true. The appropriate response is, "Screw you! Shut up! Get out of my life!"
That's what most people have told me.
Yeah. Shut up.
Also, people who want to be teachers.
If you want to be a teacher, you've just signed your death warrant. I could name a couple of those. I won't, though. Anybody have anything else?
I need a ride to Baylor.
I can swing by there on my way to work.
Thanks, man.
Do that.
Wait a minute. What time do you need to go?
Well, my brother said he's leaving at 8. He's got to go to work. So I told him that I would be there at 9.
I would like you, they want to have a, they want a, your picture for the story. And he's not coming until 9:30.
Well,
you're on the shot list.
Yeah. Well, let me just put this out here like this. We agreed that okay, people have to go to work. They've taken off 2 days, so now you know, they got to go. Okay, my brother, he's leaving at 8 o'clock. I told him that I would be there. My mother, she's expecting me. So I just kind of.
Well, if you went down at 9 and came back at 10:30 and have somebody else with you, stay with her until you get back?
I'm hoping that there's a family member that's going to be there. And if that's the case, yeah, sure.
Well, even how about somebody from here come and stay with her until you get back? You just have to come back for a half hour or so.
I'd have to see and ask my mom and make sure that she's okay.
Okay, well, you need to do that, okay?
She's comfortable with that. She's okay with that.
Okay.
She would think you were real important.
Well, just tell her what's going on. That your name is on the shot list of what the photographer's supposed to get a picture of. So.
You're talking Los Angeles time.
Worst case, can we take a photographer over there?
It's possible.
It could be a Florence Nightingale kind of thing, holding his alien mother in hand.
It's possible.
A candle burning in the background, an angel at the window. Or you could get a picture of him in the Costco cafeteria.
All right, take it, big guy.